that Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, they just disagree on how.
We're gonna get across that wasteland, and we're gonna do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.
Finally, sunscreen worthy of your skin. Sol de Janeiro's new Rio Radiance SPF 50 collection, where glowing hydration meets sun protection in a beachy and nostalgic set. Confidently embrace your glow with lightweight 100% mineral SPF body lotion, refreshing SPF body spray, and shimmering SPF body oil. Receive 10% off on your first order on soldejaneiro.com, plus free shipping with the code Spotify10.
Special thanks to Visa for sponsoring today's podcast. Visa's dedicated to their vision of being the best way to pay and be paid everywhere. Worldwide, Visa has the capacity to process over 65,000 transaction messages every second. Visa helps you get to where you would like to be by making payments fast and easy, wherever, whenever. The only thing left to figure out is, where would you like to be? Visa. Everywhere you want to be.
Coach, let's talk Carolina Panthers. After winning four straight games, quarterback Kyle Allen ran into the buzzsaw that is the 49ers defense. Panthers backup quarterback threw for just 158 yards, zero touchdowns, three interceptions. Panthers get blown out 51-13. They fall to 4-3 on the season. After the game, head coach Ron Rivera was asked about the team's quarterback situation.
Sam is still rehabbing. Doesn't have to be a lot of questions either, just so you know that. I'll tell you guys where he is on Monday. I'll tell you where he is on Wednesday. Don't need to ask after that, to be honest with you.
Clearly a very pleasant topic around the Panthers team there. But after what you saw yesterday, does Kyle Allen go back to the bench once Cam Newton is healthy?
No, I don't think that yesterday is an indication of Kyle Allen's performance overall. I mean, they gave up 6.1 yards a carry defensively. They gave up 51 points. There were a lot of things that went wrong for that team yesterday outside of Kyle Allen. And they're in a unique situation where they can take their time on this and really evaluate whether or not he is the answer moving forward, because Cam Newton next year has very little, he doesn't have any guaranteed money. So you're going to pick up, I think, $17 million in the cap if you decide to move on. It gives them a real opportunity to make an informed decision, and they should push this as far into the future as they can, because even if Cam comes back, there's no guarantee that he's back and is going to be able to maintain that status throughout the course of the season. So taking as much time as possible, to me, is the right way to go here.
Okay, so you mentioned they did not lose because of Kyle Allen. That is correct. And just like a couple of those wins, they didn't win because of Kyle Allen. But the reason this conversation got started was because they had the glistening 4-0 record since Cam got hurt. Kyle Allen, for the first time this season, played an excellent defense, and Kyle Allen looked a lot like we thought, or at least I thought, Kyle Allen would look when he first took over for Cam. Overwhelmed and not yet ready. Now, you're saying if the Panthers are going to essentially punt on this season in order to figure out what they have with Kyle Allen, that would be one path. With a defense that, yesterday notwithstanding, had been playing excellent, with a running back that, including yesterday, continues to play excellent, if and when Cam Newton is healthy, this is his job and should be his job. I don't like, you don't have to cut Kyle Allen next year. You have to see if Cam's healthy. What can he continue the trend he was on the first half of last season? Can he stay healthy before you make what would be the most monumental decision this franchise has made since they drafted Cam Newton, which would be moving on from Cam Newton this offseason? So I've been very consistent on this. Kyle Allen has shown that he's not a disaster, so you don't have to rush Cam back. But if Cam's foot gets close to 100% after dealing with the Lisfranc, then you have to put him back in the lineup and see how he does healthy with this defense and this running game.
I don't think at any point did I say you're punting on the season by keeping that player in the game. Kyle Allen's done a very good job, and the one thing he's done consistently, or the one thing they've done consistently since he's played, is win. And the idea that he was the main reason why they lost yesterday, that's so far from the truth. That whole team played poorly, and I don't think if Cam Newton was in there, he would have had very similar stats, if not worse, with that level of pass rush, you know, coming off the injury. I think it's important for this organization to really understand what they have. And if that means pushing Cam back another week, and another week will give him more opportunity to heal and should give him a better opportunity when he comes back, if he comes back, to be successful.
Yeah, one thing that they can say in this stretch with Kyle Allen is that he was more than just a game manager. You could see that their downfield passing attack, it had improved. He could drive the ball down the field. Yes, were they winning with McCaffrey? Yes. Were they winning with their defense? Yes, they were doing those types of things. But to say yesterday that now, oh, he's just a perennial backup, oh, he's just a street free agent, no. Also, leadership. A lot of times we don't like to give younger guys credit for good leadership. Because typically a quarterback, even though he might be a street free agent, this kid's been a leader no matter where he's been because he's been a quarterback. And sometimes when you take over for a great player like Cam, they become overwhelmed by the situation. He wasn't overwhelmed by the situation. So I think North Turner, Scott Turner, they do believe that they do have a good prospect to continue work with. But Cam Newton, when he's healthy, and I don't believe he's going to be healthy this year. I don't know a quarterback yesterday, Rodgers, Breeze, Brady, that would have been good under the type of pressure that San Francisco, and because San Francisco, first quarter, they had three possessions. Two times they scored a touchdown. They scored 27 points in the first. Who is going to be affected with that type of rush coming at you and you're behind on the scoreboard, Jenna?
So if Cam Newton is after this Liz Frank injury, not going to really be 100% healthy for the rest of the season, why even taking a chance? Why take a chance bringing it back if you're going to get a 70% Cam Newton?
What are you saving him for?
Well, you had four wins with Kyle Allen, and you're saying he wasn't just a game manager.
Well, he's not as good as Cam Newton. We've seen too much of Cam Newton.
So 100% healthy Kyle Allen is not as good as 70% Cam Newton with what you saw dealing with
Cam,
that injury?
If Cam is what he was the first 2 weeks of the year, then of course they stick with Kyle Allen. And I don't know if any guy gets to 100% even if they don't miss a month or 6 weeks.
This is what we need to realize. Cam Newton is not as effective throwing the football. So the equation that you give me, it's going to lean in the favor of Kyle Allen because Cam is not the player. If he's 70%, that means he can't run the way he has. And he changed his throwing motion. This affected his throwing. So the truth of the matter is when you have a Liz Frank issue, it's the middle of the foot sprain. The coach just said it. Cam is not practicing. He's still rehabbing. I don't believe he's going to be healthy this season. And when Cam Newton is healthy, regardless, Josh Allen's dad would tell him Cam Newton's better than him. That's the obvious part. But Cam is not healthy that we can even conversate about it.
And go ahead, Coach.
Well, the other question mark here is, and Chris mentioned it, the change in the throwing motion. We don't even know whether or not that change has really stuck. We don't know whether he comes back, he's going to be able to play in the way that he feels he needs to play to protect himself from a throwing perspective. So that's a question that has to be answered too at some point.
Right, which has got to be answered before you move on from him. You brought up, and I wasn't saying you said they'd be punting on the season. To me, if at 4-3 in the NFC, if you say Kyle Allen's going to take us home with this great defense and good running game, to me, you'd be punting on the season. So I wasn't trying to put those words in your mouth, my opinion on that. But you're absolutely right that Carolina has a massive decision this offseason. Cam would be a very sought-after trade piece. I think they could get a first-round pick for him this offseason, given the teams that need a quarterback, given the fact that his salary for next year is only $20 million, which in today's era is backup quarterback, or not backup quarterback prices, but near backup quarterback prices. So you've got to, if he is close to 100%, put him back in the lineup. And the one thing I disagree with you on, C, is I think Kyle Allen, except for that first game against Arizona, who everyone throws on, had been exactly a game manager. He was under 200 yards passing per game. The best win they had was against Houston, where they scored 16 points. They were a product of Christian McCaffrey rising on the MVP list and that defense being great.
My measure wasn't in numbers. My measure is when I watch him throw the football, when I watch the flight of his ball, when I watch what the coaches call, he can get the ball on parts of the field that journeyman quarterbacks and perennial backup quarterbacks can't get to. So for me, I'm talking about his arm talent. And it takes some stuff inside, stuff that's tangible when you start leading the club, all right? And Carolina wasn't playing that great of football that anybody could have quarterbacked him. I think that, Coach, when you see this, when you see a guy on the field, you see the parts moving, guys like, oh, man, the game's not overwhelming. The game's not too fast for him. And you could see some of the stuff that they were doing, even with the running back, that the quarterback had to have enough talent to be able to orchestrate all those things. So a lot of times when we have an iconic quarterback like Cam, sometime when it comes who's going to replace him, we get caught in all these things. Kyle Allen has done a tremendous job. He got a $3,000 signing bonus draft day to come to Carolina. And to win four NFL games facing the type of pressure, I think he's done a tremendous job based on what they thought the prospect would be, Coach.
Yeah, and what stands out to me is you don't hear any of the players or the coaches saying, of course when Cam's back, he's going to be back in, or how much they miss Cam. It's their silence, to me, speaks volumes in terms of the feeling in the locker room. And maybe I'm stretching it here, but there's not a lot pushing to get him back in quickly.
Are you ready for what's ahead? You can't always predict the future, but you can game plan for it. Generations of families and businesses have harnessed the power of Pacific to help them reach their unique goals. Whether you need to save money to meet your needs, ensure your family is protected, or make sure you don't run out of money, Pacific Life has a variety of financial solutions that can help. Pacific Life counts more than half of the 100 largest U.S. companies as its clients and has been named one of the 2019 World's Most Ethical Companies by the Ethisphere Institute. Protecting what matters most to people for 150 years and counting, that's the power of Pacific. Ask a financial professional about how Pacific Life can help you game plan for your future or visit www.pacificlife.com. The Patriots. They hosted the Browns yesterday, and some had this as the upset pick of the weekend, which could have happened had the Patriots' top-ranked defense not forced three turnovers on three consecutive snaps for Cleveland. Chubb coughs up two fumbles. Baker Mayfield throws a brutal shovel pass for an interception to go along with five sacks. Patriots' defense scores another touchdown. Long story short, New England wins, Cleveland loses. Pats now 8-0 as Bill Belichick gets his 300th career win. See, what was most of impressive about the Patriots' victory in this one?
Well, the thing about the Patriots is they do the most boring things, and they don't get bored doing them. Because football's about a bunch of fundamentals. So I could tell you a bunch of plays and everything, but just the basics of football, regardless of what the conditions are, they're going to put the maximum amount of detail to every little single thing. And that's throwing it, that's catching it, that's tackling. And as you can see, the Cleveland Browns, yes, they have a lot of talent on paper. But the details to playing football, they're not that important to them. And you can see mistake after mistake. Veteran players, star players make mistakes. Illegal procedure, lining up offside, formation discrepancy. Like so many little things. And to me, New England, it's about the small things. In every single game, they're going to go about being about them. It's like they outclassed Cleveland right from the beginning. The only thing kept Cleveland in this game was the Patriots' bad offense. That's the only single thing that did that. Their defense, they do what they want to do. They're going to crowd the line of scrimmage. They are playing an inordinate amount of 0 and 1 coverage, more than I ever seen Bill Belichick play. And the reason why is because he don't believe people can throw the ball. He has a tremendous amount of confidence in their secondary, which we think by far is the best in the NFL. And he is on the attack every single week. Now, he was aided yesterday by the weather by Freddie Kitchens, Freddie Kitchens, how you going to start the game in a rainstorm?
Pass. Come on. And by the way, it's not like he was then proven.
If anyone else says anything about Belichick coaching or doing another job, I'm going to slap the taste out their mouth. And the reason why is, why would I change my profession? I got these idiots I'm playing
against. It's unbelievable.
Everybody wants him to go do something else. Well, why?
Well, every week, I joked with you before the show, do teams get hypnotized when they walk into that building? The things that we said on Friday for the Browns to keep it close, because I don't feel badly at all about saying Friday I thought this could be a close game if the Browns didn't turn the ball over, because as C mentioned, this Patriots offense is average. This Patriots passing game is average, and their offensive line is below average.
Even Tom Brady is playing average.
Listen, they had one huge play in the passing game. It was a screen pass on 3rd and 10 that went for 60 yards. Because, God, I mean, who could have thought that a team would go screen pass on 3rd and 10 when they can't block? Of course, everybody, they're either doing that or a draw. But you walk into the game, and the first fumble, listen, Nick Chubb needs better ball security. The ball gets kicked out of his hand. It gets kicked by an offensive
line. No, you got to give New England credit. They smashed the formation. They knew exactly what they were going to run. Cal Van Noy went up under the guard's legs
and flips him.
Yeah, and made his leg come into the running back.
The point, no, I'll give New England full credit defensively for what they did. My point is, I'm not going to kill Nick Chubb for that. But the next time he touches the ball, I know he's fast. At one point this year, he had the fastest clock time. You know guys are chasing you. If you're watching this game, you're watching it thinking somebody's going to come out and try to punch that ball punched out. And the very next play, Baker does something I've never seen done, which is the reason they do that play right there is because it's so safe. It's like a toss or a handoff, but if it goes to the ground, it's an incomplete pass. It's safe unless, of course, when you see that the D tackle has blown up your guard, you don't just eat it. And so now you're down 17-0. And down 17-0, the Patriots in New England, good night, good luck. Didn't matter what else they did. Didn't matter how well Nick Chubb was running the ball. Nothing else mattered after this.
Listen, that's not a safe play backed up to the goal line. It's not a safe play, and the wind's blowing 20 miles per hour, and the wind is hitting you around your midriff. So, yes, on paper, yeah, it's a safe play. But you gotta understand downs, distance, situations. I'm not running that play in that game. Everything bad can happen with that play. So the offensive linemen are going to be off late because of the crowd noise. So, no, Freddie Kitchens and their game plan was totally idiotic. So, I mean, I just, New England, I told you, Jenna, and I wasn't joking, 14-2, and that's because they're going to give away the last game of the season. They're going to lose one game because no one can be that consistent.
But I would just like it. I'm sorry. I would just love it if we could see a game where they're pushed by a team that has talent on both sides of the ball. They've been pushed once this year by Buffalo. Buffalo's a well-coached team with a great defense. Cleveland clearly had the talent to coach them, but the coaching mismatch was a Manute Bol, Muggsy Bogues situation as far as discrepancy. Maybe Baltimore will do it. Baltimore's well coached. Baltimore's got a solid defense, even if it hasn't played up to its ability, and a running game that can do some things. But I just want to see this Patriots team in a game close late where the other team is not. You mentioned Freddie Kitchens' play calling. His timeout and his challenge management was high schoolish, to say the least.
And it's not just the coaching. The weather affected both teams yesterday. The Browns had 13 penalties. The Patriots had 4. It's the players as well that need to watch what they're doing, play smart football. The coach isn't out there doing that. But speaking of coaching, you have to give a nod to Bill Belichick and what he's done picking up his 300th career win.
Oh, it's amazing. It's unbelievable. I remember Belichick as a defensive coordinator playing against him. I played against him 6 times in Philadelphia. 87, we played them twice. 88, played them twice. We beat them 4 times in a row. We had an amazing game plan going against them. And I can't believe that he would change, as stubborn as he is, how he's changed to being more of an offensive-minded coach, how he's embraced so many. Let's just say do this. Sean McVay, we like him as a coach, right?
Yeah.
Let's just say for the next 25 straight years, he wins 10 games every single year. He still wouldn't be up to 300.
No.
That's how good the guy's been. And it's not lost on me because I do understand that the fundamentals, and it's not even close when we compare who's more important. Robert Kraft got it. He drafted Brady in the 6th round, sent the 1st round pick for Belichick. And he is getting every bit out of Belichick. Greatest coach that's ever played the game. Special teams, he's a master. We know what he does defensively. And him adopting a more pass-friendly offense when the league changed, with the rule changes. I mean, as you say, Nick, he is one of one. And to be able to cover his greatness, it's been amazing.
And I'm really glad you mentioned how they got him. When we talk about the single greatest trades in sports history, you hear about the Herschel Walker trade, you hear about how the Lakers got James Worthy. Like, man, that first round pick for Bill Belichick is the single most influential trade in NFL history by far. Is the Herschel Walker trade second? Okay, hey, that led to 3 Super Bowls. This led to 6 and counting, and unlike a player, he can coach for 30 years if he wants to. They are going to... We all had them as the one seed going into this season, but things can happen. Now I think we all say, no, things can't happen. They're going to be the one seed. They're going to sweep the 2010s with byes. They're going to go through the entire decade of being the one or the two seed every single year. Brady's had MVP years. He's had down-ish years by his standards. They've had great offensive weapons. They've had these offensive weapons. And you mentioned the greatest defensive coach. One last thing. During the broadcast, they were like, they showed Jared Mayo and Belichick's son, and they said, who's calling the defense? Man, I got a feeling who's at least drawing up the defenses. It's that guy right there who is just... every year reinvents himself if he needs to and puts his team in the best possible position to win a championship.
Now, if we could just get those sleeves to go down.
He can wear whatever he wants.
Be a fashion icon. Texans hosting the Raiders. Pick this one up in the second quarter. J.J. Watt tackles Josh Jacobs in the backfield for a loss, but the bigger loss was for Watt. He'd leave the game and later tweet out that his season is over with a torn pec. But Deshaun Watson would use that as motivation. Fourth quarter, Houston down 4. Watch. Watson breaks a tackle to find Darren Fells for the go-ahead touchdown. Deshaun is injured on the play, but check out the replay. Watson gets kicked in the face, still gets up, adjusts his face mask, somehow still manages to throw the one-eye touchdown. Texans hold on to win 27-24. They're now 5-3 on the year. Man, Watson was impressive. What'd you see from Deshaun yesterday, CC?
Well, I'm glad I got 2 eyes. That was amazing. I always worry about his overall health. Even though they did trade for Laremy Tunsil, that offensive line, they've been giving him more protection the last several weeks. But where he has to run with the football, he gets contacted too much, several sacks in yesterday's game. Great job by him being able to avoid the sack. Nick, you mentioned a couple weeks ago, he got caught and they stopped the play. A very, very similar play. I thought in the other play, they had him more secure and there were a couple guys around him compared to one guy yesterday. But it talks about what Dabo Swinney said when he compared him to Michael Jordan, and Dabo, people laughed at Dabo Swinney for saying that. You could start to see some of these traits in Deshaun, what he does. He's a great leader. He's got a great deal of respect in the locker room, but he is a baller. Like, he makes plays in the pocket, can make plays out of the pocket, and I think that he's underrated as a passer. When they came out with the top passing, Pro Football Focus, before the season, and I know we got more throwers than ever, I believe as a quarterback, he doesn't get the type of credit that we should give a guy who's a dual threat but is trying to play from the pocket and has done that in his career under more duress than anyone over that same period of time.
He checks every single box that a franchise superstar quarterback needs to check. He wins games. He's an unquestioned leader. He has as good of a collegiate pedigree as one can have, short of winning the Heisman Trophy, and maybe he should have won a Heisman Trophy. He is doing it without the best talent or coaching staff around him. There are 28 quarterbacks in the league that lose this game yesterday. He's one of the few that can win it. The Texans didn't play no great game. They lost J.J. Watt for the season due to injury. This is going to be the third out of his last 4 seasons where he's unable to complete more than half the games due to injury. Laremy Tunsil, who they way overpaid for because they had butchered their offensive line management so badly going into the year, he gets injured. They were on their 3rd different right tackle. They were on their backup left tackle. And Deshaun's out there doing pirouettes for game-winning touchdowns with one eye blinded. He is... I would be shocked if he doesn't win a league MVP at some point in his career. I would be shocked if he is not a 10-year star quarterback as long as he can stay healthy, which given that he's had a couple knee injuries from college and then the pros, and given how he is constantly having to do this. There's now three. I mentioned the play against Indy where he got caught in the grasp. It also happened to him last year on a touchdown pass where he got called caught in the grasp. It's a little indicative. We can think of three times he was either caught in the grasp or close to it on critical touchdown plays because he is always running for his life.
Well, that's just it. And I talked to you about this morning, CeCe, that I actually get nervous and I kind of half watch when Deshaun Watson's out there playing, because what do you know about Deshaun Watson? He hurt himself in practice. He had to take a bus because he couldn't fly because he had pulmonary issues. It's not that he's fragile, but you worry so much that the entirety of this team's success is based on how healthy Deshaun Watson is. It's like they put all their eggs in this bucket, and now with Watt out and Laremy Tunsil injured, you worry that really a season that could have had so much promise is now sort of teetering because you worry about Deshaun Watson.
It's not as if you're putting all your eggs in one basket. He's your quarterback. He's going to be the quarterback of this franchise for a long, long time. The question is, can we support him enough that we get the best out of his ability? And the best of ability is availability. So now they make the big trade. You have to spend more to be able to protect your investment. He is a Bentley. You need super duper insurance and you need an umbrella policy. That's just in case someone gets crazy and try to sue you for an exorbitant amount of money. But you have to be able to protect him. But also, he's got to realize as a franchise quarterback, he's going to have to run a little bit less as he gets older. He's already had two knee injuries. So the next one, number three, and then how's he going to recover from that? So part of responsibility is Houston, and they're trying to do their part. He's got weapons on the outside. He's got running backs. He's got a left tackle now, a franchise left tackle. But you, as you get older, you have to know what your responsibility is to the franchise, and he's got to be able to assume that, take less risk. So they're working hand in hand, him and Bill O'Brien, of how he's going to continue to develop.
And I know a lot of people defended the Tunsil trade because you've got to protect your Bentley, so to speak. You can't let him just get beat up repeatedly. But the same day they made that trade, they traded away Jadeveon Clowney for pennies on the dollar because of a contract dispute. With J.J. Watt now out for the year, I'm guessing they wish they had. If they think they can win right now, which all their moves, they just traded a third-round pick last week for Garyon Conley. All their moves are win right now. I bet they wish they had Clowney back.
Okay, quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. Obvious. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So, to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessed from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. And you're improving efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF. netsuite.com/FTF.
Time now for drawing a blank. Aaron Rodgers and the Packers taking care of the Chiefs 31-24 last night. No surprise with Patrick Mahomes on the sideline, but Sunday had plenty of unexpected outcomes. Nick, the most surprising win Sunday was blank.
The 49ers, not because I didn't think they'd win. I thought they were 5-point favorites, I believe. I expected them to win 17-10, maybe 21-14. For them to drop a 50-piece and to just annihilate Carolina the way they did, that was shocking to me. That was the game that while I was watching, I was most surprised. Even if the winner didn't surprise me, the way they won, to me, was shocking.
Yeah, you have to say that. The Eagles in Buffalo, because we have a lot of respect for the 49ers and Buffalo. Wanted to see them against better teams, but didn't think the Eagles would blow out the Buffalo Bills. This was a one-sided game. How they rushed the ball for over 200 yards, that was totally surprising to me. Doug Peterson allowing this offensive line to be more physical than they've been, except one game, and that was the Thursday night game against Green Bay. Outstanding.
And Chris, and now when you mentioned the weather earlier, but I would have thought the weather that Buffalo would want to play in bad conditions, muck it up game, and they just got blown off the ball.
All right, from the good to the bad, some thought the Browns could upset the Patriots this weekend. That was not the case with Cleveland turning the ball over three times on three straight snaps and losing 27-13. Chris Carter, the most disappointing loss Sunday was blank.
I got to say the Bears, because also on the pick six, I'm going to have a perfect clean sheet. Oh, if the field goal kicker. Yeah, super six. That
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I got it.
So if I get that kick, losing a late game at home on a field goal, knowing that, Nick, you were disappointed that the coach didn't run a play late in the game to get it even closer, but that's the reason why you have that field goal kicker. Lose a playoffs game, field goal kicker, thought they had those kicking woes resolved. No, bad loss by the Bears.
The Bears is a great answer. And Matt Nagy after the game being all standoffish, I didn't even think about running a play. What? 42 seconds on one timeout. 41-yarder at Soldier Field with Eddie Pinheiro. That ain't no gimme. Too often coaches just don't want it to be. Can't blame me. Hey, you got to blame the kicker. That was terrible. I'm going to go with the Raiders because of what the opportunity that was missed for them. They're leading in that fourth quarter. They could have, the Chiefs are 5-3. They could have gotten to 4-3. They'd be very alive in that wild card spot.
Chiefs got the Vikings this
right
week.
The Raiders could have been right there, not only for a wild card, but for the division. Instead of game, I thought they controlled.
Yes.
They end up letting Deshaun Watson
come.
Outplay
the Texans.
Absolutely. They let them come and steal it. So I'm going to say Oakland.
All right, Aaron Rodgers thrown for 305 yards and three touchdowns in the Packers' win over the Chiefs yesterday. A-Rod adding to his MVP caliber season, but CC, we'll let you decide. The best quarterback performance on Sunday was blank.
Drew Brees, he was amazing. Ooh. After missing the type of time that he's missed, having surgery on his thumb, he comes back and dissects the Cardinals' defense. At the beginning of the game, you were like, oh, I wonder if he's still got his fastball with him. But it didn't take him long, Nick, to be able to find it. Drew Brees, outstanding yesterday.
Drew Brees, great answer. I'm going to go with Deshaun Watson, not only because he was the Texans' most effective rusher, not only because he had another three-touchdown game with a quarterback rating north of 115, but this play alone, man, does a pirouette, gets kicked in the eye. One-eyed, adjusts the face mask. That's the game-winning touchdown right there. It's a spectacular play by a guy who's going to win league MVP one day, Deshaun Watson.
All right, let us spread the love to some non-quarterbacks. Eagles running back Jordan Howard and rookie Miles Sanders carried Philly to a 31-13 win over Buffalo, combining for 229 total yards and two scores. Nick, the best non-quarterback performance on Sunday was blank.
Ooh, this was tough for me. At first, I want to go Cooper Kupp, but it happened overseas, happened against the Bengals, so the exchange rate on that crosses you down a bit.
You can't do that.
So I'm going to go Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones, 5 yards per carry running the football, buck 60 catching the football. He was spectacular. That right there could have been another huge one, but he stepped out of bounds right there. It was still a great play. Took a little screen pass, 60 yards for a touchdown. Aaron Jones was the best player on the field, non-quarterbacks, yesterday in the Sunday night game.
Aaron was special, but I'm going to go with Nicky Bosa, the rookie from Ohio State, big-time draft pick, top five draft pick. Very seldom you're going to have the productivity he's had. 7 games, 7 sacks, has the interception here. He's been phenomenal after missing most of training camp. People have had the conversations with me. Who's better, Nicky or Joey? I believe Nicky has more versatility, and he misses less sack tackles than Joey does. Joey's a little taller, has a little longer arms, but Nicky can play better at defensive tackle and defensive end. So Nick Bosa, man, was outstanding in yesterday's game. And he will be in the conversation for league defensive MVP because they're going to win a lot of games for the 49ers.
All right, good stuff. Thank you for listening to the First Things First podcast. Remember, leave us a review and tell us what you think. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts and catch us on FS1 Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. Eastern. For Chris Carter and Nick Wright, I'm Jenna Wolf. So long, everybody.